Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The lessons from Scripture are from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Today's message is titled, Put the Truth in Your Heart. Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes that what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us, whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." Here ends the first lessons from Deuteronomy. The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Here ends the second lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Monday morning, as I was beginning the preparing of this week's bulletin, I turned to the Bible and read through the scripture lessons appointed in the lectionary for this Sunday. Deuteronomy chapter 4 has much to offer. Ephesians chapter 6 has much to offer us also. And continuing in Mark chapter 7 from last Sunday, there's nuggets there to mine also. But as I read over them and through them and over them, I share with you that one thought jumped out to me that I never quite paid attention to before. It was in Ephesians chapter 6, concerning the armor of God. The thought that came to me was, what was mentioned first? What part of the armor of God is mentioned first? Can you remember from your childhood lessons of the armor of God what is mentioned first in Ephesians chapter 6? First, the reason. Found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it is written, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." The reason, put on the full armor of God, the reason is so that, this is what is pointed to, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand your ground. Be able to stand. No matter what comes, you're able to stand. My friends, we are living in days of growing evil. Days of growing evil more and more, and we need the armor of God. We need it to be able to stand. Days of evil, where the rule of law is now fallen by the wayside, is evidence of the days of evil. Tyranny rising is evidence of this rising evil. Look what is happening in Australia. They've essentially returned to becoming that penal colony that they once were. In the name of public safety, they have now become a police state. An elderly man leaving Starbucks the other day, surrounded by five police officers, handcuffed and took him away. Basic humanity is pushed aside in Australia. Four babies in the past weeks. Four little infants, newborns, needing heart surgery. They were born in Adelaide. Adelaide doesn't have pediatric cardiac surgery. In the past, these newborns would be transferred to Melbourne. But these transfers have stopped. Almost all travel has stopped. Been shut down to the coronavirus lockdown. These newborns needing surgery to save their lives. were not allowed to travel to where they could get the life-saving surgery and were allowed to die. Call it what it is. It is evil. Closer to home, the University of Washington Medical Center is removing from organ transplant lists those who refuse the jab. Mind you, these people are already weak in their organ functions, their organ bodily functions. Getting the jab is questionable for them because they're already weak. The university, quoting, "The University of Washington Medical Center is not permitting patients to remain on the transplant list if they refuse to get the jab. They're being removed from the list of life-saving surgery, heart transplant, liver, any organ transplant. Call it what it is. It is evil. Refuse the jab, lose your job. Refuse the jab, forced to wear an ankle monitor to participate in high school team sports. You can opt out of the monitor program, but you're not allowed to participate in sports." That's happening in a high school out in the state of Washington. The outrage that come from it has put the program in pause for the moment. These are the days we live in. Do you see why we, brother and sister, need the full armor of God? It's written in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." We need to stand our ground, as verse 13 also states these days. "Therefore, take note." Take note of the first item that is listed. And this is what stuck in my mind as I read the Ephesian lesson over and over. The first item listed, needed to stand firm, is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It is written, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Truth. The belt of truth. Then it goes into the breastplate of righteousness in its place and starts this, but it starts the belt of truth. The Greek word order here is "stand firm, having girded the loins of you with truth." Aletheia. Aletheia. That's the word, and it means truth of idea, truth of reality, truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man. In other words, true truth. Written in 2014, Oz Guinness argues that truth is still a huge issue for the world today and speaks about the challenge for Christians to stand for truth and to be people of truth, where telling the truth is becoming a revolutionary act. And that's quoting Oz Guinness. Truth has been eroding even more since 2014 when he said that. As truth erodes to where no truth, there is no inalienable rights. Where there is no truth, there is no inalienable human rights. And where there's no truth, there is no true freedom. Donald Williams, writing about Francis Schaeffer, Enduring Legacy, especially Schaeffer's position on true truth, summarizes thusly: Christianity is truth. Christian truth touches all of life. The lordship of Christ is over the totality of culture. Christian life and witness must show the whole character of God, that's holiness and love. The truth of Christianity must be demonstrated both intellectually and practically through a life of faith. Truth. Truth is truth. The truth of Jesus Christ, and not reduced to claims of truth based on personal perspective. You have probably heard this said: you have your truth, I have my truth. That's not possible. Your truth, my truth, truth. That's not possible. That's not true reality. There is truth. Truth found, true truth found only in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is truth. Truth is not a philosophy, but is rooted in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in His Father, who is the one who is true. The true that is behind all there is, behind all that exists, is one who is true and can be trusted. It is a matter of who our Lord is. He is truth. This is how to stand firm, girded with truth. It begins with truth. Truth found in the Word of God. Without truth, anything goes. Without truth, life becomes a power play of games, where power games are played, and power games flourish, as seen in dystopian novels. Whoever is strongest, whoever has the power, sets what truth is and ushers in tyranny. Truth, true truth, is going by the wayside, evidenced by these examples of university chaplains. These are university chaplains. Harvard University. You remember Harvard? Harvard University was founded as a seminary for training ministers, and the motto was truth for Christ and the church. This Harvard University now has elected a new chief chaplain, and by the way, he's an atheist. Try to figure that one out. An atheist. The 44-year-old new chief chaplain, Epstein, told the Times, We don't look to a God for answers. We are each other's answers. Let that sink in. This is the chief chaplain to Harvard, and he says, we don't look to a God for answers. We are each other's answers. Harvard's Lutheran chaplain, she said this, that she and her colleagues were, quoting, presenting to the university a vision of how the world could work when diverse traditions focus on how to be good humans and neighbors. Such nonsense! It's pure dribble! Even though the world praises these as words of wisdom, the word of the Lord declares, it's written in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, although they claim to be wise, they become fools. Closer to home, I received an email from a chaplain at a Lutheran university. The person signed the email with her name and then included after her name, she, her, hers. Do you understand what that means? She signed her name and then included she, her, hers. In other words, she included her preferred personal pronouns. Doing so, she is signal virtuing or virtual signaling, and also at the same time, denying the reality of God, creating male and female. She says she is trying to be loving in answering and letting a person choose their own personal pronouns, such as a single person saying, call me they, them, theirs. Utter nonsense and dribble. She says she's being loving. She would probably say she's loving that. But hear the answer from the word of the Lord. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Truth. Telling the truth is being loving. Telling the truth, truth from the Lord God's almighty word, is being the most loving and most compassionate you can ever be. I'm not looking for answers from you for truth, like the chaplain at Harvard says. If I want to know truth, I go to the Word of God. And I encourage you to do the same. Truth, truth from the Lord God's almighty Word. Learn that, in that, speak that. It's being the most loving and most compassionate you can ever be. For you will be speaking God's truth. Not truth of your own making or truth of your own personal desires. Rather, you're submitting to the holy word of the Lord. The holy word of the Lord God Almighty. This word that is so full of righteousness. And this word that is the truth. This is where Deuteronomy chapter 4 comes in this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. The decrees and laws that Moses will teach to the people come directly from the Lord God Almighty. The source and giver is the Lord God Almighty. Meaning these laws and commands are truth. True truth. Take note of what following them will do. It is written there in Deuteronomy 4, follow them. You may live and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. The Lord is giving these commands that they may live. These true truths were given that we may live. Live in freedom in the land they will be taken possession of. Live in freedom in the promised land, written in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Oz Guinness writes, there is a moral challenge to truth, to us and to everyone. When we examine our own hearts, when we think and we deal with truth, we can either try to shape truth to our desires or be willing to shape our desires to the truth. Which do you do? Which do you do? Do you shape truth to your desires, or are you willing to shape your desires to truth, which is the Lord's truth? It's written in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. It is written in Psalm 119, verses 159 and 160. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. Truth. Truth is about the Lord and about us. Truth is about who we are and the way we live life. Truth is about freedom. For tyranny thrives in falsehoods, masquerading as truth. Jesus speaks. It's written in John chapter 8, beginning verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus speaking truth was not believed, because these people were beholden to the father of lies. Yet earlier in John chapter 8, Jesus said to those who believe, who took his word to heart, it's written in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hold to his teachings. The Lord said the same thing over 1,400 years earlier. For it is written in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. What happened when Israel forgot the things of the Lord? Tyranny arose and suffering came, conquered and carried off into exile. What happened when they repented and returned to the truth of the Lord? A deliverer was sent by the Lord to bring them to freedom once again. Do not let them slip from your heart. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Do not let them slip from your heart. There it is, right there. It's the heart. The heart of the matter is the heart. The heart. The place of who you are. The place of source of all you are. It's the source of all you think and all you do. The place of faith. And the fountain of your actions spring forth living life moment to moment. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, beginning of verse 14, again Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." As Jesus goes on to say, what comes out of his heart. Does the truth of Scripture reign in your heart? Does the Word of God guide and shape who you are and constrain what you do? Let that sink in. Does the Word of God, the Lord's Word, which is true, does the Word of God shape who you are and constrain what you do? Do you walk in His ways or do you walk in your ways? Before our very eyes, we are seeing Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 play out. Truth suppressed, people claiming to be wise, the rise of sinful desires, the truth of God set aside for lies, exchanging of natural relationships for unnatural ones, inflamed with lust committing indecent acts, depraved minds doing what they ought not to do, such as gain-of-function research which unleashed COVID across the world, and so forth. Later today, read this word of the Lord found in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. And hold those words of the Lord up as you peruse and peruse through the news headlines and see how much of written in Romans is actually happening these days. Man is sinful, in need of redeeming grace. Without redeeming grace, we are slaves and in bondage to sin. Our hearts are captive to sin. Going back to Oz Guinness, if you're not familiar with Oz Guinness, he's a Christian apologist. He was born in China as his parents were medical missionaries there. And he's the great-great-great-great-grandson of Guinness beer maker. Yes, so that's the Guinness. But his parents were China missionary, medical missionaries. And they were there during World War II, and he was old enough to witness the rise of communism in China in 1949. And then being expelled in 1951. And he wrote, "When we examine our own hearts, when we think and deal with truth, we can either try to shape truth to our desires or be willing to shape our desires to the truth." Shape truth to our desires, that is sin. And that is the natural inclination of our hearts. That is original sin. Or be willing to shape our desires to the truth. To do that, we need the Holy Spirit, and what that means is we need redeeming grace. The grace of Jesus Christ in our heart to live in such manner, to shape our desires to truth, takes the grace of Jesus Christ. A redeemed heart and a redeemed life. As Jesus prayed in the garden, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." Jesus gave the example of shaping desire to truth. For the Father had set forth the truth that the Son would be the redeeming sacrifice for sin. The excruciating suffering of scourging and later the nailing to the cross to die. Your will be done. The Father's truth was fulfilled. The Son became the sacrifice that redeemed for all sin. In a moment, we'll be singing, "I Love to Tell the Story." In verse 1 are these words, "I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would truth will do." Truth. Truth is what truly satisfies. True truth found in the Lord's Word, which brings us into a living relationship with the one who is truth, Jesus the Christ. Put the truth in your heart. Keep it safe. Don't let the fancy words of the world pull you down to the destruction of their lies. Stand your ground with the belt of truth girding you. The reality, the truth is there, is God Almighty, who spoke out of the fire on the mountain, declaring His covenant, declaring His word in the Ten Commandments, declaring all the decrees and all the laws so that we might live, freely live. True truth residing in the heart by redeeming grace of Jesus. Christ, that truth is what the world desperately needs. Christianity is not a faith. Christianity is more than a faith. Christianity is truth. True truth. And nothing compares. You have that truth in your heart by Christ's redeeming grace. Stand firm. That truth. Stand firm in that truth to bring life and freedom that is found only in salvation in Jesus Christ. For it is written, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. The answer to what is going on in today's world is truth. Truth. Fight for the truth. Push for the truth. Stop the censoring of contrary opinion because others think that's not truth. It may be the truth. Search out the truth. Seek the truth. Find the truth. Stand on the truth. And what truth? Not my answers, not your answers, but the answers from the Word of the living God, who, as I said earlier, was in that fire, on that mountain, speaking the covenant and those words to Moses all those ages ago. It's the truth. And it's found only in Jesus Christ, who is truth. Salvation in Christ. Tell the story. Love to tell the story because it is true. Amen. And amen.